Turn with me in your Bibles, please, not to Romans chapter 4, verse 22, but to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And turn with me also to Job chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It is my intention today to allay one more week to speak of what I've termed justification old and new, the last paragraph of our confession. In chapter 11 on justification, where our confession says that the justification of the Old Testament saints was essentially the same as it is in the New. And the word essentially there does not mean what we mean it to be in our day. When we say that something is essentially the same, what we mean by that in our parlance is kind of akin to it. That's not what essentially means to the divines. What they're meaning is that it's the same thing. That in its essence, it is the same. So, we will get to that. It is a prevalent error in our day, and so I've been wanting to spend a lot of time and study on that to bring something that really speaks to our day in that sermon. So hopefully that'll be next week. I thought that this week might be a good week to speak on thankfulness, since we have been greatly blessed by the Lord. And it is a topic that we have touched on before, looked at some of these same scriptures before, and yet we are blessed with a new and signal benefit from the Lord, and so a new round of thankfulness is indeed called for from us as God's people. As Job said here in chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, we do receive good from the hand of the Lord, and when we do, it ought to engender thankfulness in us. So I'd like to chat with you for a little while today on thankfulness and encourage us to that most happy and urgent duty in Scripture, and challenge us a little bit as well. So first of all, of course, thankfulness is something that has been enjoined upon the people of God for a very, very long time. We could trace a line from Genesis to Revelation and show what thankfulness is, scripturally speaking. We know that men such as Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses, Aaron, Phineas, they all expressed their thankfulness to the Lord. And the Lord gave various outlets to express thankfulness since the beginning of our religion. There were times when Abraham had received a signal blessing from the Lord and he erected an altar, offered an animal upon it, and as the King James says, he called upon the name of the Lord. Of course, what that means is he gave thanks to the Lord because he recognized that the blessing that he received was indeed of the sum total, of the sum and substance of God's goodness to him. And so as he acknowledged that goodness to God, he gave thanks. We also know that there are times in Scripture when thankfulness is commanded. We have read such in Colossians chapter 3. And we also know that a lack of thankfulness in Scripture is a sign of reprobation. That murmuring and complaining and other things which kill thankfulness, which destroy thankfulness, that those things are, well, the Lord casts opprobrium on them. The Lord casts His curse upon those who partake of murmuring and disaffection and so on. We'll talk about some of that a little bit later. The first thing I'd like us to remember is in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 through 15, there were offerings that the Lord commanded that the people should offer as a part of their thankfulness to God. You're blessed by the Lord, you give thanks, you offer a particular offering. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you this question. It's a very interesting question, I think. If the children, the church under age, was given this expression of their thankfulness as a part of the worship of God, what is the expression of our thankfulness that we have in our day? If there was an offering where they would take a sheep or a goat, a kid, even a bullock out of their own stock and store and bring that to the priest, and they would say to the priest, hey, the Lord has been especially good to me. Let's have a party. You come, you will receive of those portions. I'll invite all of my friends and relatives, and we will come and we'll do what we call this peace offering or this thank offering, and we'll all gather before the Lord at the tabernacle or at the temple, and we'll sit round a table together, and we'll eat and drink. We'll be merry before the Lord, and we'll acknowledge His great goodness to us. What did they do? They took time out of their day, time out of their schedule, time out of their labors. To do what? To acknowledge the Lord's goodness to them. To give thanks publicly unto Him. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Brothers and sisters, we live in a busy age. We live in an age where we crash from one duty to the next. We press from one thing to the next, and seldom do we stop and thank the Lord as the children of old were commanded to do under the Lord. So that when they had received the signal benefits of the Lord, they stopped what they were doing and they acknowledged His greatness to them. Well, they were the children and we are the adults. They were the minors. We are the majors. This is the big leagues. Play on words there. Ha ha ha. These are the big leagues. This is the church in its majority. So what should we do? I mean, what is profitable for us? Well, the New Testament does not enjoin upon us such feast days as those, such retreating as those days. However, certainly those kinds of things are not unlawful in themselves. Certainly public profession of thanksgiving is not out of order when the Lord has been signally. When I say signally, I mean openly, good to us, so that it's like a sign upon a hill. There are many things that we receive of the Lord, blessings that we receive. Many times those blessings are masked to us. They come to us not dressed as the blessings we expected. Sometimes the blessings that come to us are mitigated by difficulties. We focus on the difficulties too often and not upon the blessing. And so we remember the difficulties that we have. Very seldom are we so thankful to the Lord that we would stop what we're doing and give thanks unto Him. In Leviticus chapter 22, verses 29 and 30, this was a voluntary offering. Voluntary. It was not commanded that the people at set times give thanksgiving offerings. There were set feasts, set offerings. But the Lord had set this particular ordinance in motion to give the people an outlet, a venting, if you will, of their thankfulness to the Lord. And the Lord encouraged that by turning it into a time of celebration and feasting together with the priest, which was, of course, the representative of the Lord to the people in those days. And so having him there and having this celebration, as it were, in the face of the temple of God or the tabernacle, well, all of that was given to put everything in the context of the acknowledgement of God's great benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Psalm 107, we note here that the Lord commands thankfulness. And this same offering, this is Zevach Todah, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that this should be offered in remembrance and in response to His mighty works, His wonderful or His miraculous works. Turn with me to Psalm 107. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Notice that the word wonderful there in verse 21, well, that's that word that we are familiar with. That's the Hebrew word peleh, which means miraculous, wonder-working. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah and his wife, and it says that he took that offering and he did wondrously, that is, that he ascended up in the flame of the offering itself. He did peleh. He did a wonder. This is the kind of thing that we look for from the Lord. We look for His wonders, those wondrous and signal benefits that He gives to us, such as blessings that in this age are rather common, but in that age, in the age of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and in the age of Moses in the wilderness and the church under age, were actually more uncommon. That the Lord would send His word. That the Lord would give indeed a word from heaven, or as Robert Raymond calls it, a word from another world. Dr. Raymond sees great irony in that term, because we spend, oh, I don't know how much we spend anymore with that silly pursuit of searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. We're looking for, you know, we examine the radiation that leaps from stars, looking for a pattern. We have a word from another world, Dr. Raymond says, and all the money and time and effort that we spend searching for a word from another world, we already have one. What a wonderful thing it is that we have God's Word. And I mean wonderful in the sense that it is miraculous. It is a miraculous Word. It has information that is not available otherwise to mortal men. It is indeed something that has come to us from God Himself. In Psalm 116, 16 and 17, This zevach todah, this offering of thanksgiving, is part and parcel of being the servant of the Lord. That is counted as one of his own. Notice Psalm 116, verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And so part and parcel of being the servant of the Lord is to be thankful. We as the people of God are to have a reputation of thankfulness. In Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31, we are pointed in the same direction. This thankfulness here is more pleasing to the Lord than any other kind of offering. This voluntary praise and thankfulness is pleasing to the Lord, and that more than any other beast. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15 also says the same thing. But it is the inward attitude of thankfulness that we are to have. And this was seen in that voluntary offering from the people of old, right? As they looked upon the greatness of the Lord and what He had done and were moved in a voluntary fashion to offer these offerings of thanksgiving, to have the peace offering and to call in their friends and relatives and to announce unto them the great benefits that God had given them, speaks of a great willingness of mind, a voluntary kind of thing. Some of you have done some gardening, and there are times when you'll go out to the garden, you know, you've planted all of your seeds and you've got it all dressed up and you're waiting for your seeds to sprout, and right over here, you know, you've got your melons. And maybe next to them you got your squash. And I know some of you like to separate the melons and the squash in different sides of the garden. I understand why. But you got your melons, you have your squash, and right in the middle of the squash patch, there springs up what? Well, we call them volunteers, right? Maybe one of the beans that you had last year fell down into the ground, and you didn't know it. And you just, you know, plowed it under, and you just kept going like you were in control of your garden. And here's this volunteer bean that pops up, or maybe some sugar snap peas that pop up. We call them volunteers because they weren't ordered in that way. We didn't put them in the ground so that they might spring up again. They simply sprung up of themselves. And so our thanksgiving to the Lord is to be that kind of voluntary thing. Yes, it is commanded, but as the Lord commands, He encourages us in that command toward a voluntary thankfulness. A thankfulness that apprises itself of all of God's benefits, looks upon those things as truly the blessings that they are. We look around us today, we're in this building. We understand that it is a great blessing. And yet we look around and we also see that there are things, you know, that are yet undone. There are things that are not perfect. There are things that maybe if we thought about them, we might do them a little differently the next time, if there were a next time. Sorry, bad English. If there was a next time. And yet, we are thankful. We're thankful to the Lord. And what is it that we focus on then? Do we focus on the imperfections? Do we focus on the things that are not done? Or are we remembering the thankfulness of the Lord? Is our attitude an attitude of voluntary thanksgiving? Are we looking for ways to be thankful, or are we looking for ways to pinch our thankfulness? I think many times, and I think I told you this last week, we talked last week about what it means to be discriminating. And in our day and age, we put a lot of stock in people who are highbrow, discriminating. They have a discriminating palate. They know when you give them a glass of cheap wine. You can tell by the look on their face. They get all pinched up in their face. That you would dare to set such before someone like that. And we set forth this kind of discriminating thing, and it is something that kind of inflames our pride, isn't it? Right? Because we like the best of things, the best wines and the best foods and the best fill in the blank. I can't tell you how many times I have seen on, you know, one of the boards that I frequent, what is the best book for this or for that? I don't know. I can't answer that question. Best with regard to what? But we're looking for the best because we're discriminating. We want the best. Because nothing but the best will do, because we deserve the best. You see, all of these things work against thankfulness. The poor man, in the little that he receives, when he is thankful, he is extolling God. He is, when that poor man, I remember I read a story once about a man who went to visit a widow. And the widow, back in the days when widows were poor, she had no visible means of support. And so she had two cups in the cupboard. One of them didn't have a handle on it. And the other one had a cracked handle. And she asked the young man that went to visit her if he wanted some tea. And he said, well, yes, thank you very much. He didn't want to impose, but he didn't want to turn down her offer either. And so he had some tea. And before they sat down to drink the tea, he gave thanks for the tea. And she looked up at him afterwards, and it was obvious to him that she was truly thankful that not only that he had accepted her hospitality, but that she had something to give to him. And he said, you know, it was not the best tea that I had ever had, but that she had honeyed it up with so much thankfulness, made it some of the best tea I ever had. Well, that's a good thought. She was a lady that was, you know, somewhat destitute, somewhat pinched in her ability to be hospitable, and yet she had a cup of tea, and her thankfulness for the opportunity to be of service and to offer such things as those, meager as they were, was very moving. In Jonah chapter 2, turn with me there. Verses 1 through 9. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Notice, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That is the Zevach Todah, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Notice that Job's prayer is full of the Psalms, that he is indeed praying those psalms that he had learned as a boy, as a young Israelite, that he learned how to give thanks even in the midst of great trouble, that the Lord sent a fish to deliver him. Now, most people would not think that being in the belly of a fish is something for which to be thankful. Certainly not like being in a wide building that's painted, what is it, interactive cream. That's the name of the paint on the walls, by the way. Certainly not that luxurious. And yet, what Jonah realized was that had not the Lord sent the fish, the wrappings around his head of the seaweed would have been his grave wrappings. Brothers and sisters, we leave off thankfulness when we forget what our true dessert is. when we forget what we really do deserve, when we forget what would happen if God withdrew His kindness even for a moment, and when we begin to move in circles like this, we forget what it is to be thankful. We become discriminating. We become choosy, picky. Now, the practice of thanksgiving is very important. The practice of thanksgiving, that we are a thankful people every day. We must, brothers and sisters, hear me well, we must learn to give thanks to the Lord every day. Not only when we sit down at meals, when we rise, that the Lord has brought us through another night, when we lie down, that the Lord has brought us through another day, when we walk by the way, that the Lord has brought us on our way. The great benefits that God gives us every second, in that He gives us a breath, some, I don't know, depending on who you are, 20 times a minute. Every breath is something for which to be thankful. We forget those things. They come so very often. Meals in our day come so very often. We're sanitized from that culture that had to go out and find the animal and bring the animal and slay the animal and skin the animal and flay the animal and, you know, and so on. We are somewhat removed from that. So we must inculcate a practice of thankfulness every day. We must sit down, parents, with our children and pray and give thanks multiple times a day. We ourselves must pray silently and privately to the Lord many times a day. And we must search out in our minds things for which we ought to be thankful and learn to give thanks. We take so many things for granted. I remember there have been times when I normally sleep very well, but sometimes I don't sleep very well. When the Lord takes something away, when the Lord, for a season, for His purposes, deprives you of something, you remember how sweet it was when you had it and how much for granted you had taken it and how unthankful you were for those things when they go away. May it never be said of us. Let us remember to be thankful. Let us remember at every small blessing, of every common blessing that we receive of the Lord, that they are indeed blessings, and that it is of the Lord's goodness that they are common. Sometimes it's so out of balance, it is as if the more goodness the Lord does to us, the more we expect from Him. And the less thankful we become. I remember some of the business advice that we have been given as a company. What we have been told, and it's a very important principle. Excuse me one second here. I want to make sure that my little pad doesn't go away. We talk about, as employers, salary and bonuses. And it's interesting what happens to us as people, as employees, that we begin to rely on bonuses, not as bonuses, but as something that is due to us. So that if we don't get a bonus, the lip comes out, we get that set to our jaw like we have been deprived of something. It's like the parable of the men that labored in the vineyard, right? So there's a guy that labors all day long and he gets a penny. And there's a guy that labors for an hour and he gets a penny. And the guy that labored all day long, he said, well, this isn't right, this isn't fair. And the master of the vineyard says, what? Friend, I did you no wrong. Did we not agree that you would work for so much? Yes. Is your eye evil because my eye is generous? Should the man not have been thankful? Well, he should have been. Here's A man who is able in the strength that God has given him to labor for a day and to receive the agreed upon wage. He was not defrauded, and for that he could have been thankful. But his eye was evil instead because someone labored less. And so he began to look over there, and comparing himself with someone else became dissatisfied. That dissatisfaction, brothers and sisters, is all too common. So coming to the New Testament then, skipping over a lot, in Amos chapter 4, verse 5, the people were proclaiming to be thankful, but they really were not. Their heart had gone off to their covetousness. So there is such a thing as a general thankfulness, and there's also such a thing as a specific thankfulness. We ought to be thankful generally to God for those things generally that He has done for us. But as our confession tells us that we are to repent of particular sins, particularly not to rest in a general repentance, so also we should not rest in a general thankfulness, but we should identify God's blessings to us particularly. We should cultivate a particular kind of thankfulness. How many of you drive 50 miles or more as a standard course during the week, per day? Okay? Now, some of you that didn't raise your hand, you do that too. Okay, understand that. Did you return from this last week without a car accident? Yeah. Well, is that something for which you can be thankful? Is that a particular that you can identify every day when you come to the end of your long and circuitous route that you've driven that day, whether you're a UPS driver or whether you're driving to Fort Worth from, you know, Allen, or whether, like me, you go from Levon to Fort Worth, and then sometimes your stops take you many places in between. Every time we get in the car and start the ignition and get somewhere safely, That is a reason, that is cause to give thanks to the Lord. Every time the car starts when we turn the key, another cause. You see how much we could really roll it back, that we had strength to put the key in the keyhole, that we were able to walk out to the vehicle under our own power. There are many that are not able to do such things as that. Here we are in this building today. And it's a shiny thing. We're all happy to be here, at least from what I can tell. We're all happy to be here. We're all happy that the building, that the Lord has seen fit to bring together all of these things. And like we said this morning, to use all of these means to bring them to our attention today, that we might see His blessing before our very eyes. But what about 6 months from now? Will we be as thankful 6 months from now? Or will the shine wear off? These are interesting questions. Do we become jaded at God's blessings because they become more common? Is it true of us? It's a convicting thought, but is it true of us that the more goodness God shows to us, the more we expect? Is it true of us that the more kindness the Lord shows to us, the more expectation we have and the less thankful we become? Now, it is possible to expect much from the Lord and to be thankful at the same time, but generally those two do not go together. Our expectation of God's kindness very often cuts short our thankfulness so that we forget to thank Him for those many things that He does for us every day. Notice that the Apostle Paul was thankful in Colossians 1:3, in Philippians 1:3, in Romans 1:8, he gives thanks publicly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we could turn there. I believe that the Apostle Paul lived a life that was replete with thanksgiving, and as such is a good example unto us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." I don't know, Paul, you must have a warped view of what it means to triumph. Didn't you leave the one city? Didn't they leave you for dead outside the city? Is that what you call triumph? Yes. Yes. The Apostle Paul was chased from city to city. This is 2 Corinthians, so it's a little bit later in the Apostle's ministry. And so by this time, he has already been stoned. He has already been a night and a day in the deep. He's already clung to a piece of driftwood for a day and a night like a life raft. He's already suffered many things at the hands of the Jews. And here in Corinth, his apostleship is being doubted. And yet he says, we give thanks to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. You see, for Paul, it was a matter of perspective. It wasn't a matter of circumstance. In every circumstance that you face, brothers and sisters, you can find something for which to be thankful or something for which to complain. In every circumstance that you face, you will find something to feed your dissatisfaction or something to feed your satisfaction. In every circumstance. It would be easy to walk through the building today and see all of the imperfections. Now, no one's doing that. Praise God. But it would be easy to do that. To point at the imperfections, to point at the stuff that's not finished. That'd be easy. But the Lord has preserved us from that. Be thankful. But it is a matter of perspective. The Apostle Paul gave thanks in the greatest and most difficult of circumstances because he was truly thankful. Because in everything that he received from the Lord, he saw God's hand in it, working for the sake of his kingdom, for the sake of Paul's own sanctification, for God's own glory. And so in every circumstance, he could call it a circumstance of triumph for Christ's sake. And in that, he could give thanks. He'll later tell the Philippians, the Thessalonians, to give thanks in everything. How much is exempt from everything? It is indeed a matter of perspective then, as we learn to see, as we learn to cultivate this looking at things from the perspective of the great blessing that we receive in them. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, behold, I will make, whoops, that's chapter 3, sorry. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Also, we could turn to Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. Saying, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You see, we bring these scriptures up because we understand what the heavenly host is doing. The heavenly host is giving thanks to the Lord. And we here on earth, although fraught with lives that are sometimes disappointing, we ought also to give thanks. Again, it is a matter of seeing that for which we ought to give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. In 1 Timothy 2:1, give thanks for all men. We have Psalm 100, verse 4, which tells us to give thanks. That is echoed in Hebrews 13:15, where we are told to give thanks in all things. Ephesians 5:4, thankful speech is to replace frivolous speech. That's interesting. What do you think frivolous speech is? Well, I don't know, but I bet part of it is murmuring and complaining. I bet that's part of the frivolous speech that is supposed to be replaced by thankful speech. All right, so we are also to view all things in such a way so as to recognize the benefit in them. And the Apostle Paul has once again been a great example to us in this regard. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is in his first Roman imprisonment, one of the prison epistles. He is confessedly at this point in the Praetorium. And, you know, that's when he is locked up to a particular guard. He has his own rented house, but he is conversant in and among the palace guard. And so the Apostle Paul is indeed in lockdown, awaiting his appeal to Caesar, and he writes to the Philippians. And he says, you know, there are some that in the midst of my affliction are seeking to add affliction to my bonds. If it's not bad enough for me to be in prison, these friends, in quotations of mine, are preaching the gospel. Now, some preach Christ with good motives, but others, they're preaching Christ in order to add affliction to my bonds. Bad motivation. So what does the apostle say? What will he do in such a situation as that? He will rejoice. Is that our response? Would that be our response? Well, I don't know. But it is certainly a challenging example from the apostle that there are those who are preaching the gospel in order to add to his affliction. And he says, but they're preaching the gospel, and in that I'll find something in which I can rejoice, and I can rejoice in that. He didn't become disaffected. He did not murmur. No complaint. None of those other Thanksgiving killers. Rather, he found something, some perspective, some vantage point, some point of view that he could pick up that would allow him, that would foster thankfulness and rejoicing, even in the midst of a most especially difficult situation. So what are some of the things, in closing then, that keep us from being thankful? Well, we refuse the thankful coloring of circumstances, like we just said. We look at the things that feed the wrong kinds of attitudes in us. We're slighted, for instance. Let's say that that we come to church. This is an infantile example, but it'll help us. We come to church and we're happy and we're looking at, you know, we're saying hi to everyone and greeting everyone, and someone comes in and we're slighted. What do? Well, we put that in our craw, right? We put that in our pocket and we let it sit there a while. And pretty soon, upon every remembrance of that particular person, we're no longer able to give thanks. We've become disaffected. We have let our own pride, our hurt, our selfishness, our belief that we deserve better, we've let that destroy the thankfulness that we ought to have for one another. You know, we are to give thanks for one another. We are to be thankful for the fellowship of the saints. We are to be thankful that God has placed us in a large and extended family where we can serve and be served, love and be loved, where we can help and be helped. So we become disaffected. We become pinched in our affections. The Apostle Paul said that to the Corinthian church, right? He said, you're not straightened in us. It's on your side. You have pinched yourselves off toward us. And of course, the Corinthians had ceased being thankful to the Apostle or for him. Instead, they said things like, his letters are weighty, but when he's here, have you seen him? He's contemptible. His appearance is... he writes these great big letters, but, you know, he's got small man's disease. When he gets here, he's just this little guy, and he's contemptible. I mean, he's not anyone we should ever listen to, really. And yet he was an apostle of the Lord and knew how to spend and be spent on behalf of them, and they, in return, were unthankful. They had become disaffected with him. They had straightened themselves in their mercies toward him. The Apostle Paul says it like this: ye are straightened in your own bounds against us. So we become slighted. We don't get what we thought we ought to get. What we thought we ought to get something more than what we got from someone. And so we become pinched and disaffected. And that is indeed something that cuts the legs out of thankfulness. We cease giving thanks for that person, for that saint, for that brother, that sister. Do you give thanks for your brothers and sisters? Do you pray for the church, your pastor, your elders, your brethren, your cisterns, those that you know in the Lord? We ought to be giving thanks for one another. Another thing that kills thankfulness, obviously, is murmuring and complaining. We touched on that last week, so I'll not belabor it this week, only to say this, that it is impossible to murmur, to complain, and to give thanks at the same time. Can't do it. And murmuring and complaining comes from a false sense of our own worth and pride. It comes from us thinking that we did not get what we deserve. Of course, we really don't want to say that too loudly, because we know what we really deserve. And every nanosecond we don't get what we truly deserve ought to be another nanosecond of thankfulness that the Lord would indeed show us such mercy. So thankfulness then, brothers and sisters, is something that the Scriptures press to our hearts. I thought it fitting, since we have moved into a new building, and it is indeed somewhat nicely appointed and comfortable, and the chairs are nice. And I think I've had four or five people come up to me today and say, "Oh, these chairs are so nice. Much better than what we sat on over there at the other place." Well, good. Excellent. Be thankful. There are all kinds of things for which to be thankful. Chairs are some things, but there are much more important things to be thankful for. Thankfulness is an attitude of the heart. It is something that flows out of an abundance that the Lord has given, and a recognition of that abundance. And every time a complaint begins to circle itself around in your breast and wants to come out, squelch that complaint and give thanks instead. If you but think about it for a few moments, you will recognize that it is a sad truth, but we are discriminating. We are murmurers and complainers. We are acutely aware of what we didn't get rather than what we did all too often. Now, in a place like this, it's easy to say something like, "It'd be easy to find the faults. No baseboards. You know, there's parts of the black ceiling that are still white or whatever color, yellow over there. There's there's some wall missing over there, so we're looking at insulation over there. You know, the clock is off center." Not really, Tom. There are all kinds of things that we could look at, and we could say, "This is not right and that's not right." But what will our focus be? We must learn to move in focusing upon those things for which we can be thankful. Let us follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. The Apostle Paul, who says, "Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in all things and in every place." That's a tough one. And it moves us out of who we are naturally, because naturally we want what we want, and when we don't get what we want, we murmur and complain. So let us be thankful. Murmuring and complaining, that's a sign of reprobation. Let's turn finally then to Romans chapter 1, and we'll close with this scripture. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed against from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what unthankfulness is. Unthankfulness is a sign of unbelief. And please hear me, I'm not saying that I believe that you are an unthankful people. But I know myself, and I know that I am not as thankful as I should be. That I can easily slip into murmuring and complaining. And because I know it about me, I think I know it about you too. As we have been the recipients of a signal benefit of the Lord, let us then take this moment to pause, like the saints of old, and be thankful. Remember His great benefits. There is much for which to be thankful, if we would but see it, if we would but open our eyes to it. If we would, we can go on in complaining. We can see that too. But one is contrary to the commands of the Lord, and the other is in agreement with His commandments. To look upon the things that God has given to us and to be thankfully content with them. I said I was going to close with Romans chapter 1. I think I want to read one more scripture here if I could find it. In Psalm 100 verse 4 it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Notice when the psalmist there writes that His mercy is to everlasting, it means it's right now too. It's not just coming. It's here. His mercy is here. It's something for which we ought to be thankful. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Forgive our unthankfulness, we pray. Our Father, we are mindful of Thy benefits. Forgive us for our forgetfulness of them. Our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy great salvation and for every other benefit that we receive of Thee. Help us not to rest in a general thankfulness, but to be particularly thankful unto Thee for Thy good blessings day by day. We pray, Father, that by these means Thou wouldst be pleased to inculcate in us that voluntary kind of thankfulness that we see enjoined in Amos chapter 4, in the Psalms, that we might come with free willingness unto Thee, offering our thanksgiving. We thank Thee for the outlet for the people's thanksgiving of old that Thou didst give to them, and we pray that we might find in our day that same attitude of thankfulness in ourselves, that we might come unto Thee early and often, thanking Thee for the goodness that Thou hast given to us. As we have received, especially in the completion of our building, of Thy building this week, or this last week, we are indeed thankful. We pray, Father, that we might remain so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn with me in your Psalters, please, to Psalm 1.